Father, our God, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, while we have life, we bless the name of the Lord. While we have our breath, the Lord, O Lord God. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together again at the beginning of a new week, Lord, to give glory to your name, to share testimony, and to share the word of God. Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, the Bible says, in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at the right hand are pleasures forevermore. I will know your presence is in this place. The court already told us we are two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst of them. So we thank you. So that fullness of joy here this morning, help us to tap into it, Lord. It's gloriously available, freely available. We just tap into it by faith. That's how we get anything from God, by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So therefore, let us tap into the fullness of joy and the pleasures of your right hand right in our midst this morning. And as we read your word, we just trust you, Lord, that you will bless the reading thereof, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, many things are happening in the world. So we meet like this last time that many numbers. Things have happened across the world, the Queen of England for 70 years passed on and so on. But this is things are happening in the world every day. One of these days, now, tomorrow they are burying her and the mission over the world. One of these days, the greatest news of all time, millions are missing. It will happen. You see, overnight, in an hour we think not, the Son of Man coming. Praise the Lord. Last Sunday we talked about, we reminded ourselves about the different signs, we call it the signs of the time, you know. And why do we say this is all the time? Because the devil is at war, he knows in Revelation 12:12 that he has but a short time, right? But by the mind of people, even Christians, you know, with all kinds of, relentlessly bombarding your mind. Why can't we talk about the things of God if we have to repeat it a million times? Amen? God's word never grows old. Praise the Lord Jesus. And how do you overcome the devil, really, you know, with all the way you bombard your mind? Bible says in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, only acceptable unto the Lord. And this is your and my reasonable service. Amen? And it goes back to that, if you renew your mind, because if you don't renew it, it's just decay. Satan will just bombard it and so and tear you apart, you know? So the only way to renew your mind is by the word of God. So that's how something we have said before, we say it again. So this morning, having talked about the different signs of the time, I just felt led this morning, you know, to talk about how to be ready for the coming of the Lord, you know. You know, so we see the signs, yes, and that can't be imagined ourselves. So I must have touched on this thing before, you know, many times. Like I said, God's word ever grows old. This time, nobody wants mind and so forth. In this time, we are living right now. So let's talk to Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 7. He said, let us be glad and rejoice. Why? And also even give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. We know who his wife is, and so on, but you know. Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready. That is the subject this morning. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He gave us warning that if he comes in an hour, we think not. But the only thing not to miss him is to always be ready. So this morning, how to prepare and be ready for the coming of the Lord? How do we do it? He gave us indications in the Bible. And we know about two or three of them, but which are explicitly spoken to us. How to be ready? We're going to see that one. Some are implicit, you know. Just scatter over the scripture like that and so that take the whole thing together to know how to be ready. So the Lord also spoke about readiness. I gave you two scriptures right now. Be also ready, right? He also gave us spoke about readiness for the rapture in his parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins in Matthew 25. I want to read the six through about 10 quickly. Because these are the parables of the kingdom, how to be ready, right? So it said in Matthew 25:6, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. I have read all that to come to this verse. That's a popular, you have dealt with this here many times, right? To come to verse 10, right? That's why I read that portion to put us in context, you know, of this verse 10. And why they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And the emphasis is this clause here. They that were ready went in. That's the emphasis right here. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So readiness, have to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And there we learn that the distinguishing factor is that between the wise and the foolish is that the wise, they were prepared. The foolish, they were unprepared, right? The foolish had no oil, you know, and so forth, you know, their lamp and so on. Bible says, those that were ready, right? That's the factor that you see. The Lord does not hate any of his people. He loves his children. But when he has given some instruction and we don't listen to it, then something happened to us, they chastised us and so on, that, you know. So we learned that one right there. So that's the only difference between them and so on. Some hear the word of the Lord, they were ready, and they have oil in their lamp. Many other scriptures associate the wise with preparedness. You see, the wise always prepare, right? So, and then the foolish with unpreparedness. See that? Wise, you always prepare, and the foolish with unpreparedness. In the light of the catastrophic events that will follow the fourth fruit rapture, the Bible says that the trouble, right? Catastrophic events will happen after the rapture. See, the world is in trouble right now. The Lord said what we are seeing is just the beginning of sorrows, right? That's why he wants you to be ready. See? So anyway, in the light of the catastrophic events that will follow the rapture of the church, to be unprepared for that event in the rapture is to be what is described in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 7:23. So the people are not preparing is to be like this. 7 of Proverbs 23. A bird, people will be as a bird that hasted to his snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. That is the face of the unprepared. They are just like that, you know. So they will be like a bird hasting to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. We are living in an evil time. Even the Bible bear, that's how we know, from the Bible especially, Ephesians 5:16 says this, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, the Bible says. So we are living in an evil time. And the Antichrist system has long been secretly spreading an evilness. Decades ago and so on, even for long ago, I've been spreading evilness and a snare for mankind. See? One of these days, not too far away, he will remove his mask. He's walking underneath right now. See? And so, this will suddenly come to the open. The snare he has been laying. It's a snare, right? You hide it, right? When you hide the snare, right? For your target and something like that, you know. So one of these days, it suddenly comes to the open. And at a time when it will be too late for many people to take advantage of the Lord's warning to be ready. We don't want to be like that people, right? So anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net. We are living in an evil age, right? That the fishes that are taken in an evil net. And as the birds that are caught in the snare. See that word snare appearing everywhere. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time. People, this is an evil time. Get worse and worse, really. Except for the elect of God. who hid all these words that did not give in the Bible and so forth. So to us, that we live for joy because the coming of the Lord, great now. And every time, when it falleth, look at that one, suddenly, it will be sudden, right? When it falleth, suddenly, upon them. You see? So, it's underneath now, the sacrifice system, and you are, all the trouble you are seeing are manifestation of his underlying working. Whether it is in economy, or in war, or in finances, or famine, or drought, and so forth. Droughts are all over the place, and flooding all over the place, because of the sins of them who listen to the law. Then it will let the nation preach some to them, you know. The sea and the waves running too, you know. So that's what is happening right now. So anyway, so suddenly, we come upon them, you know. So, so we see right there, you know. So, Proverbs 27:12 says this, concerning all these things and so on. It says, a prudent man, the Lord wants me to be prudent. That's what the Lord wants me and you to do. A prudent man, for search the evil. We are living an evil time. And the Lord exposed this generation over and over again. It's an evil time, right? So the other time we preach a sermon here, we call it, what you call that sermon and so forth, the present evil world. That's about 2 or 3 Sundays ago, right? The present evil world, right? So anyway, so a prudent man for share the evil and hide it himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That for this time, great tribulation, right? Could be Christians. They don't hide themselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth and that, you know. So anyway, Matthew 24:21. So talking about this time we are living in now. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, not ever shall be. The Lord Jesus is saying that this is trouble, a time of trouble like the world has never seen before. World War One and two combined together will be like nothing. That's what the Lord is saying here. That's why he gave us a warning. That's why I want to read it. Before I read it, I have to be ready. I want to read the repercussions of not being ready, of not being prepared, you know, at the Lord's warning, you know. Doesn't matter how many times we have preached it before, it is still true today, it is true tomorrow, so we should take it. Now, talking even Daniel, the apocalypse of Daniel, Daniel 12, the 1 about to 3, saying the same thing. And at that time, at the end of time, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, we stand up for the children of thy people. Talking to Daniel now. That's the Jewish people, right? They are caught in the great tribulation and so forth now. They are the major chief in the great tribulation and so on. Revelation 7 says so and so on. And the Gentile bride, the Gentile church, not the bride, the part of the church, which is not ready, and so on, as you know. Now, look at what he says. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time. And so it's time of trouble, like the Lord said in Matthew 24, time of trouble. Bible says, echoing this over and over again. So I read all this one to, because we talk about preparation, why we should really be prepared and so forth, as you know. Now, in Psalm 27, verse 5, for in the time of trouble, see, time of trouble is coming, it's all over on the world, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. See? The people who are listening to the Lord will be taken out of here in that time of great trouble. They caught up together with him in the clouds, to meet him in the air and so on and that, you know. So that's what he's saying here, prophetically saying, where David experienced that in his trouble, but the greatest thing is pointing to the great tribulation also, you know. The bride will be caught away out of here for that kind of trouble and so on, that, you know, so we should get ready. So talking of a snare, you know, indeed, the Lord spoke of the judgment that we visit the unprepared world in Luke 21:35. What did he say there? For as a snare, shall it, you know, we're talking about snare and so on, Proverbs says snare and so on, that, you know, for as a snare, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, the Lord said, you know. So, so the Antichrist, we broke a covenant with Israel and established a seemingly atmosphere of peace. Oh, we got peace now, as well as that, you know, it's a false peace and so on. It's a covenant of death, really, you know, according to the other scriptures and so on. And so Boca a covenant of a similar peaceful atmosphere and safety. Of this, the Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 3. So it's a false covenant. So they say they have a peace, right? Now verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden, that word sudden, destruction cometh upon them, as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You see, they have not recognized the day of our visitation, right? Even part of the church, see, that's an escape, but they are not ready for the escape, right? So, and they shall not escape who neglect the warning of the Lord. We don't want to be in that particular group of people. The saints who heeded the warning of the Lord, meaning the false fruit saints, we have been, we have escaped in the clouds to meet him in the air. For others, an escape will be too late. So they shall not escape. The Bible says that, where I read in that scripture I read right there. So the scriptures also use nature to teach man about preparedness and readiness. Even we use nature to tell us how important it is to prepare. Even nature, to teach us, first the natural, right? Then the spiritual. Let's see some of the writings of the wisest man of his time, inspired writer. Solomon, the book of Proverbs, of his time and so on. So, this will pertain to the wise virgins now. What I want to read now. We see even in nature, the characteristics of the wise virgin, as well as of the kingdom of God parable. In Proverbs, the 38th chapter, verse 24, now, there are the four things which are little, they are tiny things, right, upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. You see the wise virgin, even right there in nature, God begins to portray wisdom in nature, has to do with preparedness. They were tiny, but they were exceeding wide. The Bible says, what are the four things? Number one, the ants are a people, not strong. You can't even step on water, you don't even know it, and so tiny and so. The ants were a people, not strong. Yet, they prepare, that is the key word right there, preparedness and the readiness. They prepare their meal in the summer. See? The conies are but a feeble folk. Yet, make they their houses in the rocks. So when the storm comes, they will be safe. The locusts have no king. Yet, go they forth, all of them, by bands. The fourth one is the spider. The spider taketh hold with her arms. And it's in King's Palace. Can you go to the White House right now? There may be a spider there. Crawling on there, but I can't go there. Praise the Lord. So God, you see. But let's talk about the ants a little bit more. The paladin assumption. More about the ants. Proverbs 6:4. Because they are, Bible says they are wise, right? They are exceedingly wise. Not even wise. They are wise. Like the white virgin. Now, 6:4. Give no sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Verse 6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. Learn from the ant. How wise he is. She knows how to prepare, right? And be wise. The wise virgins, right? Which, having no guide, or overseer, or ruler. Verse 8. Provided our meat in the summer and gathered our food in the harvest. Now, I want to deal on those two things about the ant and so forth. I want to repeat Proverbs 30 verse 25. I want to repeat again. The ants are a people not strong. Yet, they prepare their meat in the summer. The warm summer came up right there, right? Before the snow came around where they can't go out, right? Like you say, the population will come and so they can't get anywhere anymore, right? That's near. Also in Proverbs 6:8 about the ant. Provided our meat in the summer. Why summer? And gathered our food in the harvest. So I'm telling you right now, according to the scripture, the summer of this age is when Israel becomes a nation after 2,000 years. Learn from the ant now. I say the summer of this age You know, is when Israel become a nation after 20 years in diaspora. That is some of this generation, you know. And the Lord portrayed in the parable, Matthew 24:32. Now, learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer, see that one, summer is nigh. And the summer of this age, see? So likewise, in verse 31, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is nigh, even at the door. When you say they come a nation, almost 1948, how many years back and so forth, you know, Jerusalem, 1967, go back to the hands of the Jews in the Six-Day War. So anyway, verily I say unto you, as before, this generation that see this thing happen shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Meaning, what led you to see all these things? Lord, on the Mount of Olives. I want to remind ourselves why he said all these things. When shall all these things be? The destruction of the temple. What shall be the signs of your coming? And then the end of the world. That's why he told us all of these prophecy and so on. So like the answer, in the summer, we are in the summer of this age now. See? Anyway, so we see right here. So again, back to Proverbs 6:4, it says, give not sleep to thy eye, nor slumber to thy eyelids. What do we learn from there? Learn from these tiny things and so on, that, you know. Go to the ant, that's Dogger, consider her way. And be wise. So don't give sleep to your eye. We are not, meaning that we are not to sleep spiritually in this age we are living in. Don't sleep spiritually now, so that, you know. So go to the ant. So do not give notice to your eyes right now. No slumber to thy eyes. So the Bible says we are not to sleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the dark, of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. You see that one? The ants, don't give sleep to your eyes, right? And then to your eyes, no. So therefore, let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch and be sober, the Bible says, you know. So in Mark, talking about spiritual sleep, right? In Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. The Lord says, no, not the angels which are in heaven. Talking about the coming of the Lord, right? Of which we have said we should be prepared, right? Neither the Son and the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is, you know. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. You know that what I'm talking about? Spiritual sleeping, right? Learn from the earth now. Don't sleep spiritually now. That will be awake. We are children of light, not of the night, really, you know. So what I say unto you, I say unto all, the Lord said, watch. So the Lord wants us in that wise virgin group. That's what he wants us to be. That parable and so on, you know. So he counseled us thusly in that Proverbs 4:5. So he wants you and I to be in that vice virgin group. So in Proverbs 4:5, here is what he says again, the wisest man of his time, Solomon, writing by divine inspiration, get wisdom now. See, be in the wise group, be of the wise virgin and so on. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline for the word of my mouth. When wisdom is speaking and so on, that, you know. So the Bible says so and so on. Now, forsake her not, meaning wisdom, don't forsake wisdom. And she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exhaust her, and then she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. See? She shall give to thy head an ornament of green. I even look at this. A crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee. Just a little peek at the rubies of God's wisdom right there, you know. To another place in the Bible and something like that, you know. Talking of the crown of glory that you can receive as being part of the white virgin in 1 Peter 5:4. And where the sheep shepherd shall appear, see, coming of the Lord, right? What happened to you and I? He shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away, the Bible said, and so on. As you listen to the word of the Lord, get yourself ready and be prepared and so on, and as you know. So that wisdom and so on, a crown of glory. Now, I've said all those things to tell us, you know, what is going to happen in this age we are living in now, right now, and why it is important to be prepared. So the first fruit are those things that are ready at the coming of the Lord. The Bible says in Revelation 19:7, his wife has made herself ready. So the question that may be asked as to how to prepare and to be ready for his coming, how do we do that? Well, he gave us some explicitly in the Bible and some implicitly. Let's take a look at a few of them. There are many of them. Well, people have different ideas today. Secretarianism, or due to prejudice, or even tradition. They have too often entered into the discussion of what we need to be prepared. For those who believe that the Lord is coming, right? There are those who are church people who don't even believe that the Lord is coming at all, right? So those who won't believe, they have different ideas of how do we get ready, you know? So which of all the ideas out there, which one do we take? So anyway, as a general guide, may we say this. For any qualification that anybody might may tell you of how to be ready, or they may put forward, you know, and so on, that, you know, it must be in the light of what the Bible says. Those who believe the coming of the Lord, right? Whatever they say we have to do to be prepared, must be in the light of the scriptures. It cannot be outside of the scriptures, you know. No qualifications can be added as to how to be ready than what is in the Bible, which the scripture does not demand. Nor any restrictions made that God does not make. These are general guidelines as how to know how to be ready, right? So there are all kinds of ideas out there how to be ready, those who believe in the coming of the Lord. One must be careful of those who encourage people with the false hopes which can never materialize and which will only result in disillusionment and disappointment when the Lord comes. So rounding that up is this. The only safeguard is to stay on the word of the Lord as how to be ready. So having said that, let's take a look to the scriptures. Probably we can't even cover all the reasons and how we can be ready. Let's see a few of them in the next few minutes. Now, preparation and readiness. Number one, we must first have a realization that there is a price to be won. Your readiness, for you to be ready, there is a price to be won by being ready. Our attitude must not be to merely hold, just to try to hold on, you know, or even to escape air. Thank God for that. But we must have the vision or understanding of the prize to be won or the glory, Bible says, that has to be revealed at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must have that vision, you know, and something like that, you know, realizing that the prize to be won. With that realization of these things, then you can plunge all the way in to do whatever is necessary, because you are in the race, right? Yeah, that's a price to be won. Look at people in the world, right? How they prepare. Look at any event, whether it is a football game, they practice and practice, right? Olympics, they spend months in preparing. How about the greatest event of all time? And this Olympic season and so on, they just obtain for a vain glory, right? And they put so much effort into it. What about the crown that never will perish? The Bible says that this happened ever for you and I. You know, a blessing and so on, that God is having heaven for you in having your name on it. So how much more shall we prepare ourselves and be ready, you know, to meet, to be able to qualify for that fourth fruit rapture of the saints. Now, so putting all we have into this battle and to winning the contest, we become the first. So we become the first part of the harvest, right? What to do is, look at your orange tree, look at your guava tree. Well, they have fruit on them. They do not all ripe at the same time, that is it. Some ripe just last week, some next week and so on. So it's the body of Christ too and so on. Those who are going at the rapture are those who ripe first. They have learned their lesson on time, you see. They have had this kind of messages and so on. I believe the word of the Lord to be ready. And they prepare themselves. So, they learn their lesson early enough. And they prepare and they are ready. So, they ripen for us, right? Then they go up when the bridegroom comes. So, that's the way it goes. So, anyway, so we see Apostle Paul. So, said this in Philippians 3:13-14. He says this. Part of how to be ready, right? Forgetting those things which are behind. Satan, you that want to trick you and I all the time, to drag you down, to slow you down in this race and so forth. Maybe you make a mistake in the past. Usually remind you of your errors of the past to cast a snare before you. So, but here I have to deal, one of them to deal with it. Forgetting those things, which even something which are good in the past, we don't begin to just dwell on yesterday's glory too, you know. There are more victories to be won today than we had yesterday, you know. So anyway, either way, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now look at this one. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the prize to be won, brethren. And Baba will tell me you are right there. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. So this prize, as we know in the Bible, is to be in the first fruit rapture of the New Testament saints. There was a first fruit rapture of the Old Testament saints. There is coming a first fruit rapture of the New Testament saints at the coming of the Lord. So that's what he was pressing for. And that's why God allowed him to write there by divine inspiration that you and I will do the same thing, you know, for the coming of the Lord. So that's one thing, preparation and so on. So now, another way to be ready is this. So, the first rapture stage that we know in the Bible was Enoch. There had been a rapture before, you know. His name was Enoch. Bible says he walked with God. So we can learn from him another way of being ready for the coming of the Lord. Hebrews 11:5. Before his translation, meaning Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased God. See? So anyway, so he had that he pleased God. Then he goes on to say the next verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So this means that the prize or the first fruit is to be attained through faith. That's another lesson we learned here today. Through faith. Talking about how to be ready, right? Faith. In the way other things we receive of God is by faith. Our salvation is by faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are we saved through faith, right? Not of ourselves, right? The gift of God, right? That any man should boast. So faith is a qualification, you know, for the rapture and so forth, you know. Reminding ourselves, you know, of these things and so forth, to be prepared and to be ready for the coming of the Lord and so forth. We can never be ready for the first fruit rapture by mere human effort. No more than I save myself. No more than you save yourself, right? So it is a faith experience like Enoch, you know, a faith thing, right? You know, the faith experience. So not by struggling or anything like that. Faith. Before our translation, we must have the testimony that Enoch had, that we please God. And we can't do without faith, right? So the Bible divided a whole chapter, Hebrews 11, I call it the hall of faith, to show you how important faith is. That's why once in a while, we interject prophetic messages with that of faith. See, because we need it. It's crucial, you know? So don't be surprised when you go, whatever the order, every major minister has seen, they do that, you know. So anyway, so you see, so faith. And even for this faith, we depend on the Lord too, you know. I always like, how do you please God? Even to please God, we depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a scripture for that one. In Hebrews 13:20, which I always like. You know, so, towards the end of it, 21. That, you know, talking of the Lord Jesus Christ now, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. How do you do that? Working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight. How? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We depend on him for everything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No wonder he told us in Mark 11, say, have the faith of God, right? The faith that God himself inspired through his word. He is the word of God, right? So even we have to please God to depend on Jesus Christ, our Lord. See? So not by struggling or anything like that. So blessed be the name of the Lord. It may be so simple for us. It just opens our eyes to see the hidden knowledge of God, you know, the secret and so on. It is the glory of God to hide a sin. It is the honor of kings and so forth to seek out a matter, right? By reading his word. Anyway, let's another way that we have to be ready, you know, for the coming of the Lord. We have to be an intercessor. All those that have been, that's what I believe with the intercessors, you know. Why do we say so? Because another man who was translated was Elijah. So we want to look at those who have been translated before. I tell God is not a partial God. Whatever they did, I think we qualify us. So if you do the same thing, right? Bible, the things are written our first time. They are for our examples, right? And that. Anyway, Elijah, who was also translated, was above all a man of prayer. The Bible gives an example of his prayer ministry in James chapter 5, verses 17 to 18. The Bible says he prayed earnestly that he might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Talking about his prayer life, really, you know, the first time when they call the rain off, just like that, you know. But when you bring the rain back now, it teaches us two aspects of prayer. Your prayer, you can pray a prayer and he answers right like that, you know. You can't have God anyway, no. Another time, may I to persist. Luke 18, I believe it is, men ought to pray always, right? To bring the rain back, it takes 7 times to bring it back. But the man of God, the man of prayer, you know, he persisted, you know, at all, until the rain came and so on. So anyway, so we see. So now, we also, like Elijah, and the Lord taught us this thing in Luke 21:36, as to be ready. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. You see that? That he may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. The Lord showed the secret right there, you know, that shall come to pass. He didn't say you should pray that you don't call. He didn't say you pray that you can't pray that, say, oh Lord, say that you don't get tribulation, you can't do that, because it's going to come. And so, but you can pray to escape, right? That's what the Lord is telling us, you know. And then to stand before the Son of Man. So he gave us the secret, right? We have to be prayer warriors. People who have dedicated themselves to making prayer a business in their life. Don't let your work or business get in the way of your prayer life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't let it. You know? So prayer itself is your number one business. And my number one business, I told that, you know. Because you have a prize that you want to win. To be in that first spiritual rapture and so on. You have to be a prayer warrior and so on. Because a prayerless life is not going to be ready. When the voice as a trumpet sound, as we hear the revelation forward, come up either, it's operation and so on, symbolic of the rapture. A prayer life will not attain to that, will not hear that voice. You must be prayer warrior. In the book of Revelation, when the Lord took the book, you know, the little book and so on, to open the seals, you know, and what happened there, the importance of your prayer and my prayer, apart from that, you know, that is the attribute of those who are looking for the coming of the Lord, look at how important your prayers are. It has a dual purpose. It meets your need here on earth, what you are praying for. Even at the end of the age, your prayer will do some other, you know, wonderful work. Let me show you Revelation 5, 8. What your prayer will do, apart from being answered on earth, to meet your needs here, God has another purpose for your prayer, to encourage you and I to pray all the time. Revelation 5, 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Oh, see that? God stored up the prayer. Well, you know, he said the prayer of the saints. Am I among those saints? Am I, is my prayer there? I see another scripture that shows that your own is there too. Revelation 8:3. Your own is there too. I'll show you right now. And another angel come and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it. Wow, watch this one now. With the prayers of what? Of all saints. So that is there. Praise the Lord. The prayer of all saints. You know, so your prayer has value, both now and also, and another purpose of God at the end of the age. So anyway, so we see right there. So we encourage you and I to pray and so on. And when, and then immediately after these prayers are offered and so on, it brings judgment at the end of the age. I will skip that anyway, but we are encouraged to pray, meet our current need, and also that in the other divine plans of God for the immediate future, and I will say, given where we are in the time that we are living in right now. So anyway, the Lord taught us to pray also, that kingdom come. So God's kingdom must come as the result of this prayer. That's why the Lord gave us the thing. So looking for the coming of the Lord, then be pray all the time, that kingdom come, that's what he told us to do. Hence, we may say with certainty that the fourth fruit rapture will include those who have made prayer a regular ministry in their life. Warning against principality and so forth, we know if we have been there before, it's not easy to war against principality and power, not easy at all. We know that. Yet we can all do it by the grace of God, you know. So we must not be lazy. That's the word to use. If you're not praying as you want to pray, if you're not praying enough, I'm not praying, and then I become lazy. That you're being lazy, that's it. You know, in the proverb, it said the sluggard. Look at the ant, right? Sluggard means slothfulness, right? Can be slothfulness in prayer or any kind of a thing, right? So don't be like that. I'm telling you that, you know. So anyway, so now to qualify for the fourth fruit and so on, of the prayer warriors and so on. So now let me show you one of the tasks of the man-child company will be to assist in displacing Satan and his angels from the heavenly, another reason, value of your prayer. You see? Now, it is when the man-child company is caught up to heaven that the great war in the heavenlies will begin, according to chronological order. Because in Revelation 12:5, the Bible says, she's caught up, right? Down the chapter, and so on, that, you know, there was war in heaven, another mystery, another thing, you know, war in heaven, so on. We take it to be immediately after the rapture. That's what in heaven we will call, right? So now, Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their life unto death. So, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? And of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he had but a short time, you see. He cast away from the heavenly and so on, cast down. Matter is rapture, right? You know, we are gone. And then we be with the Lord and so on, and join with him in that casting down of Satan and so on, and that, you know. Together with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the angelic host, the word of the overcomers also included and required to cast the devil down, you know, from the heavenlies and so on. Could the Lord have done with that you or me? Or absolutely yes. But he delights in us. In many things we are co-laborers together with him. Right now we are his ambassadors on earth right now. Since he went back to heaven, whatever he does to mankind, he does through you and I now. Whatever blessing, you are looking for healing, call the elders of the church, amen? Praise the Lord. These such a prayer that I believe, right? In my name, and so they will they shall recover. Whatever he does, if he gets to heaven, through the church as well, as you know. So the same thing, when he rather sits out of the heavenly, he involved in the man-type company. He be involved. So what an encouragement, you know, to be, you know, a prayer warrior. But the president knows something you know, of the reality of this warfare. Not much many Christians know, unless you are into it and so that, you know. So they don't know that. So many times, you know, when you are praying, I mean, if you hear a war, and so a warfare, so we know one or two people in the Bible who know about it. Daniel knew the meaning of the conflict that can be involved in prayer. And even Daniel opened our eyes to what happens in the spiritual world of prayer and so on, that many people will forget about it and so on, that, you know. So Daniel knew the meaning of the, you know, of the conflict when he wrestled for 21 days against the prince of Persia. How many Christians have patience today to pray for 21 days? You know what I'm saying? So, now, I listen for examples, right? So anyway, so 21 days, man, wait, you know, after you quitted in 20 days, then you have lost the victory, right, and so on, that, you know. So, the scripture says in Daniel, in Ephesians, so don't say it's Daniel time, right? How about you and I? We are facing the same evil personage, the same war that began for the garden of Eden that corrupted the wise creation, you know, the fair creation of God. Lucifer and so on can be a different one and so on, that, you know. We are facing the same thing that Daniel faced. Ephesians 6, 16, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Many times when you are afraid about something, it's really a fight, a battle. You have to keep on going, amen, and the Holy Ghost is in you to help you. He's our helper, praise God. He helps your infirmity and my infirmity. You don't give up though, you see, don't give up, and you pray in the Spirit too. I will pray with my understanding, I will pray in the Spirit, see. So anyway, so the importance of prayer, right, to the people who are going in the rapture. So anyway, so we see that there, you know. So it is the saints who have learned to battle Satan in the heavenlies. Like I said here, in their prayer life here on earth, who will be useful at that casting away or down of Satan from the heavenlies. If you haven't learned your lesson here, how to battle with him in prayer and fight through by the grace of God, how are you going to qualify for that, you know? So this is the playground of anything, how to many, many things and all that, you know. Let us keep our prayer life up. I know many people are here, prayer warriors, and we should all be really. So so the first fruits are with Christ in the heat of that conflict in the heavenlies. Christ and his followers will round up the devil and his forces during, to bring to naught the armies of the beast. Christ will judge the nations too. But he chooses to do it with the help of his chosen saints. Who are you to? How can he place it to the? To the potter? How do you make me do? Why do you say how can he do by himself? He is sovereign. Amen. All that he does. Amen. And that is a blessing to you and I. Psalm 98 verse 9 says this. He comes to judge the earth, talking about how he will employ us in many things as he does as we walk with him. He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. If you stop there, you will think, hey, only we judge the world, right? But we are told in another scripture in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? See? We are co-laborers together with him. Praise the Lord. How he loves us. So just to emphasize the importance of prayer, we are all into it by the grace of God. But to encourage us to do more and to persist, you know, and something like that. You know. Another way, how to prepare, the other is this now. Noticing some of the things said about the fourth fruit. Mentioned in Revelation 14, I don't have time to read that to all. So the fourth fruit is mentioned in Revelation 14, right? Certain things are said about them. Like with Enoch, we read it. We saw Elijah, right? What was said about the fourth fruit in Revelation 14? You can learn from it to say that, to qualify us too, you know. The Bible says that, so knowing this will help us our preparation for the rapture. And one of the things which was spoken about them is that in their mouth, Revelation 14:5, these first fruit people, in their mouth was found no guile. You know, what is guile? Guile speaks of cunning, deviousness, trickness, or subtlety. It shouldn't be with God's children at all. It shouldn't be named among God. Deviousness, cunningness, trickness, and some churches shouldn't be found among the God's people and so on, but where it exists today, you know. Anyway, so we see. The scripture tells us also, you know, of the potential of the tongue. We can bring that one in right now. The potential of the tongue to do evil, right? So, now, so no guy was found in their mouth. So this group of overcomers, they will overcome the power of the tongue and so on, that you know, and speaking guy. No, scripture tells us that the potential of the tongue to do good and evil. James 3:6. Talking about the tongue now. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So we are talking about not to principle are said by the power of God, not to speak guy, right? We are further told in James 3:2, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So the Lord said in Matthew 5:32, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatever is more than that comment of evil, the Lord said. So we're talking about, see, no guy in our mouth, right? I think because the false witness in Revelation 14, there was no guy in their mouth. So we should learn from there to know how to bridle our tongue and so on by the Holy Ghost. I won't talk about that, the whole subject by itself, how to bridle the tongue. It's a whole subject by its own. But we know it has to be done. We know in the Bible also, one disciple that the Lord commended was that one shy, was a shy one, a kind of a retiring type of disciple. His name was Nathanael. And we are told in John 1:47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guy. So seeking no guy should be a qualification for doing the false fruit, because Revelation 14 says the false fruit mentioned there 144,000. You know, there's no guy finding there. Are there going to be 144,000 in the false fruit? No. We can't go into that one right now. There I can say they are representative of the false fruit. Anyway, so no guy. Let us learn to let the Holy Spirit help us to control our tongue, what we say to people, either to Christian or to even to the unbeliever. See? Now, another one. Another one is this. So it's that the false fruit also in Revelation 14 is that these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever it goeth. Another qualification, they follow the Lamb whithersoever it goeth, right? So and this obviously speaks of bride-ship, isn't it? Usually the wife follows the husband, wherever his work carries him, at least I put a comment here, in the olden days, right? Praise the Lord. Not so much in the modern age, you know. But the way I grew up, my father was a farmer, right? So, and even though my wife will do some side trading, but the major thing is to follow my dad to our work, right? And when you were a teacher in those days, you know, and they transfer you from place to place, your wife follow you, right? We are living in a different age. Anyway, it's a different age, right? Nothing against that. Anyway, so these people call they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, right? Talking about bride-ship, as far as we know, husband and wife are in the traditional way of doing things. So to follow the Lord Jesus wherever he goes in heaven, it is obvious that we learn to follow him in his footsteps here on earth. That's the point, you know, in 1 John 2:6. He that says he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walks. It's our perfect example, really, you know. Those who will be of the bride of Christ, meaning the false fruit unto God, will follow Christ in his sufferings, for example. Bible says that we as Christians are not only to believe on him, but to also suffer, another scripture. You know, for his cause, right? Another scripture, I don't have that one here, you know. Yeah, believing is good, but we have to suffer with him and so in this world. Or this how we follow him in his sufferings, in the temptations and so forth. It's labor of love for the lost we follow in India. It's prayer life. Again, prayer comes up here again, you know. And it's a consecration to the will of the Father. It's an example in that. So as the Lord came down from heaven only to do the will of the Father, so we should be willing to forsake all that we might also win Christ, like the apostle said. As Christ came to this world to be a missionary to redeem lost humanity, so we too must consider the supreme work of our life as helping to get the gospel to the nation. And today you and I have many, many opportunities. One time the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. People used to wonder, how can I go to all the world as an individual, right? How can you say go to all the world? But today, there are many ways you can spread the gospel. You can be here right now and be preaching the gospel in Russia. Maybe you have to say that an evangelist is there. You get credit for it, you know. Maybe you send some fanatics to there. You are sponsoring people to preach the gospel. You send them. You can't go, you send them, right? And you can witness that we can all do right here where we are at, you know. So you can give class, you know. You may not be called to be an evangelist full time, but we can all witness for the Lord and so on. So anyway, those who are put to be the first fruit, one way or the other, you give to the funding of the gospel anywhere in the world. So you and I have opportunity, I'm sure. Nobody should have any complaint. So anyway, so we see that here. I have to wrap this up now. There are so many, many ways you can do this and so on. Matthew 24:14 should be where I'm talking about. Before he comes back and so forth, or at the end of the age. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come, the Lord says. So world evangelism then is necessary to bring back the king, right? So we therefore, every one of us, must have this vision to be a member of the bride. I believe when it comes, I'll tell you right now, can do it many ways and so on. Now number one is this, clearly enough, we must be separated from the world and never violate the vow of our separation from this evil world. We are sure that it's an evil world, right? The Bible shows an evil world, right? But we separated from it. Yeah, we are in it, but we must never be off it. Praise the Lord. Now the Bible says another place. Now, the Christian who enters into an affinity with the world commits spiritual adultery. James 4 says so. A sharp rebuke, he says, "Ye adulterers," and he said, "and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God," the Bible says. So what the Bible says here, worldliness, you know, has served the power of many a Christian. We shouldn't fall into that particular trap, really, you know. It is the prevalent thing of the lukewarm Laodicean church in Revelation 3 that the Lord told us about, and so lukewarmness and some of that, you know. The love of the world, what does it do to the Christian? Produces lukewarmness to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, today, we have a flood of worldliness, which is a spiritual adultery, like we said before, seeking admission into the church in every direction to those who let it, right? And many are letting it anyway, sadly to say. And we see, little by little, worldliness is gaining entrance and undermining the spiritual foundation of the church. Bible says, we at the end of the age, right? Revelation 3:18-20 says so, the Christian church age. The scripture warns us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, most of the public places of amusement in general are of the spirit of this world. I can name some of them. They include the theater, the movie house, and the dance hall. All these attended to the things of this world. Those who go to these places, movie theater, movie houses and so on, all the dance hall and so on, those who are the first fruit rapture will not be found in this place when Christ comes, you know. Watch what you do. Watch where you go. See? So just, you can name more of worldliness, and that's sufficient right now. Quickly, another thing is this. The bride of Christ are those who have responded to the call of a bridehood. Ephesians 5 tells us a whole story about using the husband and wife and say Christ and the, you know, I think it's a mystery concerning Christ and the church, right? We can read that as well as that, you know, so we see. So, there are two sides of courtship anyway. In this case, Christ first sought us out and gave himself for us, the Bible says, that we might be a glorious church, he says, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5 says so. So he has done that. We too must respond by letting his redeeming grace transform us into his likeness. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, change into the same image from glory to glory. You have to align to do it in your life. I have to align. It's in us, but you must align to do it. No, in us and so on, you know. Even as the Spirit of the Lord says, the call of the bride is seen in even the Old Testament. I said this one before. Like I said, some of this I've said here many times, but we are not weary of repeating the same thing. As in a seat where we hold and there be understood properly. Psalm 45:10, 2-11 and so on. Hearken, O daughter, talking about the, you know, O daughter. And I consider and incline thy ear. Forget also thy own people. The Lord said, if anybody loves father and mother more than me, he's not worthy of me, right? So he told us in the Bible and so on. He has to be number one in our life. I can't love my wife more than him. But my wife is a Christian and we are one, so we love him, right? So the same thing and so on. Nothing should be put ahead of the Lord. We can't love our children above the Lord. Not anybody and so on, you know. So the Lord says so and so. So attributes of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for this greatest event of all time. So anyway, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. The true bride will be those who respond to this call, and that there is something for the bride to do too. She is willing to forget our own people, really. You know? So, we know in the Bible, Genesis 24, story of Rebecca, and some of that, you know. 24 of Genesis, I won't go to that, read that one. But there's a verse in there, I want to read. 24 of Genesis, verse 58. They ask her, here is Rebecca here, here is Eliezer, never see this man in all her life, right? Never see her in all her life. Now, here is the question they ask her now. See, will thou go with this man? Go with man you never met before. Is his story, is it really true? And so that, you know, will you go with this man? What did he say? And he said, I will go. See? This is a type of the bride. Though we see him not, right? We love him, amen. Having not even seen him at all, yet we are believing. And we are rejoicing with joy unspeakable and we are full of glory. Praise the Lord. See the brideship and so on. Whether you see him or not, doesn't make a difference. It's even a special blessing to us and some of that, you know. So we will see that Rebecca, whatever I said to do, we do it. So brethren, what a glorious and thrilling possibility to be among the first fruit unto God. To have the privilege of following the Lamb throughout all eternity. We're talking about eternity now. See? No. So now, so we see right there. So they who will be among the privileged number will be those who, like Paul, count all things lost, that they might win Christ. What a challenge to every one of us. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, he said, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Praise ye the Lord. Yeah, that's your brother, my brother, and so on. They are an example for us and so forth. We put him first, the Lord Jesus, in everything. I don't think I can add more to this when the time is going. All these are some, not all of them, of what will help us to be prepared and be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, maybe running through your mind, in our mind, I say, you might say, well, how do I meet all these requirements? I'll show you one the other time. How to please God is Christ Jesus in us and our submission to him, and we please God, right? I'll show you that one. But the other question will be asked, how do I meet all these requirements? Well, remember this scripture here. Even Apostle Paul himself, that scripture or two here, Philippians 3:12. not as though I had already attained, you know, neither were already perfect. But I follow after, don't be discouraged, you know, and so on. If I'm not praying enough, I have opportunity that now again, amen. Praise the Lord. If I'm not witnessing enough, today I have an opportunity to gear up my witnessing. Maybe by giving to the gospel and some of that, you know, whichever way the Lord leads you and some of that, you know. I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehend of Christ Jesus. And he testified, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If your Christian work, you have made some mistakes, don't get stuck there. Just talk to the Lord about it and move forward. You know, move on to the things, this greatest thing that is going to come, the coming of the Lord, and so that, you know. And I press, you know, press forward, right, toward the mark of the Christ, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we believe that Paul eventually, you know, according to his own testimony, at length, that he won it. Let me show you in 2 Timothy, and the last scripture, finally, 4:7. Because he contested for that faith, because he strived, he prayed, and he got it. Let me, in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. It's a fight, brother. You know by now, right? This Christian war, a fight. Fought a good fight, sir. I have finished my course, he said. I have kept the faith. Don't you ever let go of the faith. See? I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. See? And not me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. What a blessing. So this morning, by the grace of God, brethren, God grant us that we continue to press toward the marker for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and to love continually his appearing. So, by the grace of God, we shall win the battle for the translation in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. What you want us to be, what you want us to be in that first fruit rapture. So we thank you for giving all these secrets, Lord God, Lord, to help us in our preparation. Thank you, Father. Bible says this thing to the God. To the world, you put them in parables. But to us, you spoke face to face and mouth to mouth as a man speaks to his friend. Here, my friends, he says, you keep my commandment. So by your grace this morning, we know, oh Lord God, you will help us. Like Paul says, fight a good fight and so on, that, you know. And we shall win that battle for the translation by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning. And we know this very thing. Lord, as we give you all, as it's so to say, while we are in this world, the Bible says, as we seek for the kingdom of God, you will supply all our need. No, so we believe you, Lord God. So help us to just rest in the Lord and give you all the glory to us, O Lord God, and see you work miracles and signs in our life. So I now commit all the needs represented here this morning to your hand, Lord. Father, O Lord God, so that we supply all our needs, you know, spoken and unspoken, Lord. You tell the heart, Lord. You know what is in the mind of the Spirit. And you do make intercession for us, even the Holy Ghost does according to the will of God, that you supply all the need represented here, spiritual and material, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, grant it, O Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the physical body, Bible says yourself, Matthew 8:17, took our infirmities, and you bore our sicknesses. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, himself bore our sins in his own body upon the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed, the past tense, we just accept it in the name of Jesus. No disease is too hard for the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, those stripes, they take care of any kind of a disease, named or unnamed. Bible says so. So Lord, we just accept, just like our salvation, we accept our healing. The same way, the same sacrifice. By one sacrifice, he has perfected forever. We that are sanctified in the name of Jesus. It is ours in Jesus' name. John 3:2 said, beloved, I wish above all things that may prosper and be in health, Lord, we receive in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says, how shall he not also freely give unto us all things that cannot his own son, but deliver him for us all? Yes, he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised when he was justified. We are now the righteousness of God in him. All things are ours. The Bible says so. Help us to reach on our each passing day. Whatever we need, God say all need. He say we supply all our need. And God say, I'm not a man that I should lie, but the Son of Man that I should repent. Even though I shall pass away, the Lord say, my word will not pass away. So we thank you this morning. Glory be to your holy name, Father. Now, I count us toward the Lord to escape all these things that shall come to pass as we stand before the Son of Man. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for running over the time, son.